Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Open Talk Radio, 313 The Flash.
All right, what up, everybody? Happy Thanksgiving. This is Wrestle Talking D with Martez, Dominic, Kayvon, and Josh right here on Open Talk Radio 313 The Flash, blogtalkradio.com. Thankful to be back here with you today. Thanking God for another chance to talk wrestling. It's weird. We come to you on Tuesdays, on Mondays, on Wednesdays, and it's weird to be able to come to you on a holiday, albeit it's 10 o'clock. But it's still the holiday as of today. I mean, as of right now, it's still the holiday. So we thankful that we can be here today and talk wrestling, because there's nothing that I like to do more than talk wrestling. So I'm happy that I have enough energy to yap it up with the rest of the guys. Let's bring in the crew so far. Me and what up, Josh? You got me and Josh in the house. What's up, man?
What's happening, brother?
Not much, man. It's been a long day.
Shoot. I went to work at 4 a.m. and got off at 4:30. Trust me, I know it was a long day.
Oh, man. See, you know what's funny? Because we both worked downtown, and I had to be to work at 7 a.m., so I thought I was doing something by having to work at 7 a.m., but you had to be there at 4. So that's...
Oh,
that's,
yeah.
So that means you had to go to...
It's all good, though.
Oh, yeah. So what else going on, man? There's a lot going on in wrestling.
Oh, yeah. I know you watched the Survivor Series, right?
Yeah, gosh, I did. And there's some things I want to talk about with that.
Oh, yeah. So here's my thing.
Okay.
I love wrestling. Wrestling is like a passion of mine. It's been a passion since I've been like 5 years old. I mean, I go all the way back watching it with my grandmother, my mother, my whole family. I mean, we had pay-per-view parties when it was the WWF. But lately, it's like the WWE can't even hold a consistent pay-per-view from beginning to end. I mean, you have choppy moments where people are messing up. You have ridiculously stupid battle royals that shouldn't be on a pay-per-view at all, just so you can fit more people on there. And you build one of the top four pay-per-views supposed to be, the top four are always supposed to be great. This, to me, was mediocre. I give it a strong five, and that's being at best, because there was more things I disliked than I liked.
Josh, I can't say that you're wrong. You know, like, the biggest thing I liked about it, and we're going to bring Kayvon here. He's joining us now. The biggest and the only thing I really liked about it is the first match was Becky Lynch versus Charlotte. Now, going into that match, like, I believe they were going to put on a good show, because they always do together. In my opinion, they put on a good show, and that was one of their better matches. You know, it had so much emotion. It had so much authenticity in that match. But after that, it really wasn't worth watching. You know, like, even the 5-on-5 matches, I consider it a joke now. It doesn't mean anything, the 5-on-5 matches.
Yeah. So, well, I know the men's 5-on-5 match, I was talking to myself, and I was like, you know, watch. I bet you any money this is what's going to happen. Drew McIntyre and Bobby Lashley are going to get counted out or disqualified. You know, I mean, I was calling the match as it was happening, and I'm like, you know, WWE has become so predictable that it's like we all should work for the WWE because we all know what's going to happen.
And that's sad. I remember a time where we didn't know what was going to happen. Like, for real. Like, like, even the gold Monday Night Raw, even Selena Vega and Carmella winning the tag team championships, the women's titles, like, that was predictable. You know? Like,
yep.
It was obvious they were going to go in that direction at some point. But let's bring in Kayvon. What up, Kayvon?
What's going on? And, well, actually, it's a bit of a twist tonight. Kayvon Jenny will not be joining us, but he asked me, Rogue Journey, to be a part of this podcast. So I am here.
Oh, my God.
Uh-oh. We got a rogue agent amongst us.
Yes. And he has given me a list of something called the Big Four Plus One, so that's that. So I am ready whenever y'all are, because tonight gonna be a good night.
Well, let's not keep the people waiting, and let's not keep you waiting. I guess it's Big Four Plus One time.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is I, the Rogue Journey. And tonight's Big Four Plus One, number one, we have a fan attack. If you guys have seen Monday Night Raw, then you guys know that it has a fan jumped out of the crowd or from behind the barricade or whatever and attacked Seth Rollins. Number two, we have Kevin Owens. If you guys have paid attention to Survivor Series, then you know that Kevin Owens walked out. So is this a sign that Kevin Owens will be heading to AEW? Number three, Raw. For the first time in forever, Raw was better than a pay-per-view. I would tap more into that on the next one. Number four, we have the Battle Royale. Now, I'm a big fan of Battle Royal, but at Survivor Series, the Battle Royal was on the main show instead of the kickoff. Yes. Then the last one, plus one, yes, plus one, we have Big E and Roman Reigns. As previously noted, Big E said that he's going to rip Roman Reigns apart, but at Survivor Series, I think this match saved the show. That is the Big Four Plus One. Now, let's go into the main show. Back to you, Montez.
Rogue Journey coming out the gate swinging. Like, wow. So, wow. You were pretty, seemed like you were pretty down on that pay-per-view, Rogue.
I was, and for the first time in forever,
Let's just say Rogue Kayvon and y'all adversary Kayvon Jennings, we fell asleep on that pay-per-view because it was just, it was boring. It was that's the first time forever. The show was boring, and the last match, Roman Reigns and Big E, from my opinion, saved the show, as well as the first match with Becky and Charlotte. Those two matches alone saved the whole pay-per-view.
Yeah, and I can go out on a limb and agree with you guys, especially with Roman Reigns. Anything that Roman has been doing over the last 2 years has been phenomenal. Like, Roman is forever saving anything. He saves SmackDown every Friday night. He's saving WWE because I think without Roman Reigns as the top guy at WWE, like, WWE will be in a little bit of trouble right now. I'm not saying they'll be in major trouble, but they are blessed to have a guy like Roman Reigns because he literally carries that company, you know, and there's not a lot of guys that can carry a company, but Roman Reigns carries that company, and he's always delivering in these high-profile matches, and I agree, Kayvon, him and Big E, they definitely delivered. They definitely gave the people what they want, and shout-out to Big E, too. Like, Big E, he's not a scrub whatsoever. Like, he gave Roman Reigns every bit of all he had, and it portrayed on screen, and I was definitely pleased with that matchup between those two guys.
I actually 100% agree.
Yeah. Now, I don't know where we want to start. I'm not gonna lie to you guys. I didn't do much prep today. I definitely wanted to talk about this Seth Rollins and his fan. Like, what was up with that? But I know we're just shooting the hips.
Mm.
That was the most. I felt bad for Seth Rollins. I think anybody that got morals, that got a heart, you would feel bad for a guy like that. But you do got some people that thought it was funny. Like, I didn't think that was funny at all. I don't know if the young man had mental issues in his head or whatever, but that was the worst thing that could possibly happen. And I don't know how he was able to get past security. You know, I know things happen, but it's Josh, you're security, right? Yeah, I'm sorry. I don't mean to tell your business.
Oh, no, you good. You good.
Okay. Yeah, but for me, I don't know how that was possible for him to get past all those people, but maybe you can give me a much better insight on how that can possibly happen, but it was a messed up situation all across the board.
Here comes the controversy of that whole situation. Mm-hmm. Now, fans had jumped barriers and tried to attack wrestlers, mm-hmm. but they had never, ever been able to get to the wrestlers until Seth Rollins. Now, the question is security is so tight and WWE, you know, takes their, you know, the welfare of their superstars so serious, then how are they allowing fans to jump barriers and actually get to these wrestlers? So my question is, was it a spot that they planned? Because it kind of seems like it, because the next day the guy comes up and he's like, oh, you know, I was catfished by someone named Seth Rollins, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, really? All right, you know, everyone has seen catfish when I was – no. I'm not buying that story. This is another publicity stunt by the WWE because they know that AEW, I hate to say it, AEW is kicking their butts in pure wrestling.
Yeah.
Pure wrestling. That's all I'm saying. You know, because me being security, trust me, I'm a big guy, and if you're going to come try to get past me, well, you're going to get a stiff stop sign. That's all I can say because we're going to keep it PG.
Okay, Kayvon, you can jump in. Sorry, Josh, go ahead.
No, go ahead. I'm sorry. Yeah, no, I was just going to say I purely think that it was a spot because at the end of the whole segment, Becky Lynch just peeks out to see if everything – come on, man.
But you know what? You know what's funny? Because, like, I always have to look at them with the side eye. You know, like, was this a work? Was this planned? Because I thought that, too. I thought – I'm always going to reserve a right to think that it was a work because that was just too clean. It was perfect, you know.
Oh, yeah.
The spear was perfect. It was timed perfectly, you know, and the fact that he was released from jail the next day, like, I don't get that, you know.
Oh, yeah. Well, here's the thing. You want to know, I've went back online and watched this numerous times just to see if I can pinpoint where I know it was a work or if it was real.
Mm-hmm.
Here's how you know it was a work. Out of all the audience, Seth Rollins looks to his left, and then the guy all of a sudden appears on screen.
Oh. Oh, good point. Good point.
Man, good point indeed.
You're doing some hardcore investigating, man.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's true. Like I said, it's a passion.
Man.
Yeah. But I will 100%. Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Kevin.
No, you good. I have nothing because, number one, when I was watching that, I'm like, oh, snap. Seth Rollins really got this dude in like a whole chokehold, and then security came out and took him out of there. Initially, I thought the whole thing, you know, I thought that they went off script. I didn't think it was a part of the thing until now, because I know I've done some investigating, but I didn't dig like that deep. It was kind of like just to scratch the surface. But in all, because this has happened numerous times. And yes, by the way, I did go back and I was digging deep with the Roman Reigns and the cancer situation. I dug deep in that too, and let me tell you, I was so off the whole thing. I'm going to talk about that later. But yeah, it's those are what I call like diehard fans for real. When you can be tied to the storyline and go to jail and then release the next day, I couldn't do that.
Yeah.
Most people are too fragile for jail. Yeah.
And Kayvon and Josh, especially you, Kayvon, and look who he said he did it for. He did it for the bloodline. like you a big bloodline Roman Reigns fan. Like, can you see yourself doing that? Do you love Roman that much that you would do that?
I mean, okay. Lord Jesus, so now we're stepping to territory for real. If the only way I would do that is if somebody of the bloodline like Jimmy, Jay, or Roman Reigns, or even I'm just going to send it out to Paul Heyman. If they came up to me and said, I need you to do this because Roman Reigns said it, then I would do that, only because Roman Reigns told me to do it. Okay, cool. But if I was to do that for the bloodline, And I didn't get no clarity from anybody that's a part of the bloodline to do that. No, I would not do that at all. I mean, I love Roman. I love the bloodline. But to jump out or from behind the barricade to attack somebody and say, oh, yeah, this for the bloodline. No. Not unless Roman Reigns was up in a feud with them. That's the only way. But no, not at all.
I
you guys know what this kind of reminds me of?
What's that?
Rikishi and The Rock, I did it for The Rock.
Oh,
come
yeah.
on, man.
Man, the more we dissect this, the more this seems like a super work. Like man. And then the fact, like, Josh, you bringing up Becky Lynch just so happened to be there, like, at that time, you know, it don't make sense whatsoever, man. It don't make sense whatsoever.
And plus the excuses don't match up. I did it for the bloodline. Oh, I got catfished. I mean, those are two complete opposite stories. So, I mean, if you're going to lie, at least stick with your lie.
Exactly, man. Exactly. At least stick with your lie. Wow. This is it's definitely crazy. Now, I want to talk about something that you said earlier, Josh. You was talking about how AEW is kicking WWE's behind. Like, I never thought I'd hear you say that, because I know you're not much of a fan of AEW, right? But you should be objective.
Well, I'm a fan of pure wrestling. Like, I'm always going to love WWE, because WWE, like I said, I mean, that goes through generations with my family. We've watched it so long. So I'm always going to be true and true. But with pure wrestling, I'm always, and I hate, you know, it's like, I love pure wrestling. If you can put on a good match, I'm going to watch it. I don't care if it's WWE, AEW, MLW, Impact. If you put on a good match, I'm going to watch it. And in pure wrestling, AEW is killing it right now. So, I mean, for that matter, so is Impact. They're both killing it right now with pure wrestling. Entertainment-wise, hands down, WWE. Promo-wise, hands down, WWE. I mean, that whole CM Punk MJF thing, I mean, I'll talk about that later because I got a whole little spill I want to go on that. But it's just in wrestling, AEW right now is killing it in wrestling.
You know what, and I'm in denial, but I have to learn how to just separate my feelings from what's reality, okay? And, Josh, I know we seem like we all agreeing tonight, and we bet we are. I got to agree with you. They are kicking butt in the aspect of the pro wrestling. You know, they doing their thing, and you can't take nothing away from them when it comes to that. It's like WWE, at sometimes they're sloppy. They're careless, you know, they don't. It's almost like their heart is not in it, right? Their heart is not in what it's not in what they're producing. You know, they're just putting anything out there to appease the investors and the stockholders and whoever, the networks. That's what it seems like. But when it comes down to, like, say, Impact, MLW, even NWA, AEW for that matter, they're doing a good job at just pure wrestling. And I think there's an appetite these days for just pure wrestling. You know, there's definitely an appetite for that. Now, I will say this, late 90s, all the way up until maybe like 2014, you know, that entertainment stuff is what, it was popping, the entertainment part of wrestling. But at some point, people started to want just actual wrestling, you know, and that's exactly what AEW is doing right now. You know, they're giving people what they want. MJF and CM Punk, that's something that people want to see, and they're not taking forever to give you stuff. And I can give them kudos for that, you know.
Yeah. Now the matches in AEW, I mean, you got to look at it like this, okay? You got people like CM Punk, Bryan Danielson, they're coming in and they're letting them pretty much win every match that they've had. But when it comes to promos, I am sorry. To me, you cannot have a good promo if you are every 5 to 10 seconds mentioning your competition or rehashing a promo that you've done in another federation. That's exactly what that promo between CM Punk and MJF was. It's like, hello, I remember him and Triple H doing this. This is not CM Punk talking to Triple H. This is Phil talking to Paul. I'm like, really? Come on, man.
Exactly. And that's their calling card to take shots at WWE, you know. And that's the part that bothers me about that federation is the constant taking shots at WWE. You mean to tell me you can't think of nothing else but to intertwine WWE into your promos? I don't like that one bit, man.
Well. On a side note, I was talking to my boy Frankie earlier, and he kind of opened my eyes a little bit to about the whole AEW mentioning WWE. I mean, he said, and I quote, it's like AEW breaking the fourth wall and not being afraid to mention other federations and stuff, which is cool because, as my friend said, in WWE, if you get somebody who comes up to NXT, everyone who's on Raw is like, oh, I don't know who this person is. When it's all one federation, you know who these people are.
Right,
So if WWE is even afraid to mention their own superstars when they get brought up to main rosters, I mean, is that kind of like not – I mean, that's a dead giveaway right there, that whoever's being brought up is going to get slaughtered on a main roster and then released 5 to 6 months later. You know. But I will say that WWE, they have botches, but AEW has a lot more botches.
Oh, for sure. Oh, for sure.
You know, but what killed me about the Survivor Series is was that 5-on-5 women's match, when they were all hitting their finishers, you could see they were all hesitant. I mean, literally, the dropkick that Liv Morgan did, you literally saw, didn't even connect with an arm, a finger, a shoestring. Nothing connected. And I'm sitting there thinking, like, make it believable.
Right, right, right. That's my biggest frustration with them right now, because nothing looks believable. Everything is almost like it's choreographed on steroids with WWE. Like, it doesn't seem like a real fight. And it never was like that when we was growing up. It never was like that. But everything seems so staged. Even though it is staged, it doesn't supposed to portray that way to us. You know, us as fans, we are more intelligent now than ever before. We see through the BS. We see through this, we see through that, you know, and this is what bothers me about their matches, that is so scripted to the point to where you can call a move before it even happens, you know. It's like, it's terrible, and I don't know, they need to really just stop doing that, man. And Kayvon, I know you was trying to jump in, man. I don't want to talk too much.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
No, y'all are okay. I know my first match, and this I know my brain was like on today's wrestling, like even back then. My dad took me and my brother to our first match at the Little Caesars Arena, and when I tell you, I was calling off literally every move that the wrestlers did, and I predicted the outcome and who would win, and that person won. My dad said, "How do you know all that?" And I couldn't even say an answer because it was like I've been watching the product for, like, so long. And now that I'm at the age I'm at now and watching it, it's like, well, now I have an answer for my dad, because it's something else. When you study this thing and you can see, all right, this move they're about to throw. Up, here come a comeback. Up, the finisher, signature, boom, that's it. The wrestler, that I mean, it's simple. It's like steps. Now, the only matches that I can't really predict on, and I'm sure you guys can agree, is when Roman Reigns, like all of Roman Reigns' matches, I can't really predict, all right, this move he going to use, because he uses different moves even when he is a heel, which I love. Roman Reigns make everything look believable. I mean, that's why Friday Night SmackDown is the number one show. I never thought I'd say that out loud. But through the matches, Roman Reigns believe in this product. He believes in, all right, we got to tell them a good story. We got to make it look real. And in some cases, it's like, ooh, that junk hurt you. I mean, you can feel it outside the TV. But versus everybody else, it's like, okay, what y'all going to show me now that I don't already know? That's like the main – that's the main point for me. It's like, yeah, it's scripted so much where even I, Kayvon Jr., as a child, was telling my dad who's going to win by what move and naming everything. Right, that shouldn't be.
Oh, yeah. Now, Kayvon, I know you love Roman Reigns, and I got mad respect for that, but I have to dispute one thing that happened on Survivor Series, and it's even gone on record as he's gotten a little bit of heat for it backstage. When Big E did his spear through the ropes and Roman Reigns decided he was going to land on his feet and then fall down, that right there was a bad sell. And he got some heat backstage for it from some of the producers. That's the only botch I've ever seen in a Survivor Series match with Roman Reigns, and he's been in quite a few of them, but that's the only botch. And I hate to say it because I know, you know, ahead of the table, but yeah, I got to be the controversial one today because at the end of the day, it's like I got to call it like I see it.
Yes, and well, the Rogue Journey applauds you for that. Thank you for bringing that up, and of course, knowing me, I'm on your side. I mean, although I am the WWE specialist, but today, I'm with you. I don't know what was going on through Roman Reigns' head. I guess, you know, yeah, I guess he was all right. Since I'm like right here, I might as well land on my feet and then fall, you know, acting like I'm hurt. That's, yeah. I mean, it's some, I hate to say it, but some superstars, even the head of the table, Roman Reigns, sometimes they can make mistakes like that and act like they didn't really see it.
Yeah.
True.
There's something that I want to do. I know we didn't talk about this, but I want to take a time. If we can do this on the fly, I know this is going to be on the spot, but things that need to happen in WWE, things that we want to see happen in WWE. If we have some things that we've been thinking about that we want to see happen in WWE, I want us to just say them right now, you know.
Bet.
The first thing that jumps in my mind that has to happen is Finn Balor and AJ Styles need to be a tag team. They're on the same brand right now. They have Bullet Club ties. You know, they put on a heck of a match a few years ago at Survivor Series. Like, it's obvious that WWE should pull the trigger on putting these two together. Also, they should also put these two in a matchup again. They the first time they went up against each other, it was a classic. So I want to see Balor versus Styles again, and I also want to see them as a tag team and create some kind of club thing again. You know, maybe not the OC or Balor Club, but something along the lines. You know, I think that'd be a hot tag team. Like, I think that will bring a lot of eyes to Monday Night Raw, AJ Styles, Finn Balor. That just seems so cool. So that's my first thing I wanted to say that I want to see happen is AJ Styles and Finn Balor become a tag team. I know I put y'all on the spot, but anybody else got it?
That's fine. That is fine. I know. Yeah, I got you, Dom. I'm gonna say this. Then I'm gonna pass it right on to you. If WWE is listening, I know I'm receiving a whole lot of hate, but a whole lot of people will agree with me when I say this. One thing that WWE one thing I would like to see happen is, you know, WWE. I'm sorry to say it, Big Fan. Stop firing your greatest potential wrestlers. I'm sorry, I had to say it. Hit Row, wonderful team, wonderful faction that was in NXT. They were doing some amazing things. You come up to the main roster. We see them come on the show, we seen them backstage for a short time, but it was cool seeing them come out, and what happened? Boom, they gone. Then you have Bray Wyatt, the man behind the scene. Cool, we love him. What happened? Boom, he gone. Then, of course, you have one of the biggest, well, actually, I can't even say biggest, but the superstars, Aleister Black, Braun Strowman. Those are just a few, but I'm pretty sure the list is long. I don't got time to say all the names. But I'm going to say one. Keith Lee was gold. He was golden. And what happened? All these superstars dropping like flies. WWE need to stop doing that or else they could be losing big fans. That's it.
Yeah.
Ooh.
There's a bunch of things I can name. I'll just go with a couple right now. One of them is stop repackaging your NXT people when you bring them up to the main roster, Because if it works in NXT, why mess it up? That's one. Second, stop burying people like the Jeff Hardys, like the Mysterios. And I mean, people who can be a good contribution to the company, but yet you want to bury them. And then here's the number one thing. Get rid of Vince McMahon.
Ooh.
Get him out of office.
Ooh.
Fire his ass.
That's a hot take.
Take him out. You've been fired.
What? Wow, Josh.
Because see, here's the thing. Here's the thing. Vince McMahon is all about the big guy. Vince McMahon's all about tradition. What tradition is he carrying? He's carrying right now. His tradition is, oh, I don't like this guy. You're fired. I don't like this group. You're fired. I don't like you. This dude is not Donald Trump. And if he was, I still wouldn't like him anyway. You know, I mean, you can't get behind somebody who's not going to be for the fan. And he is not for the fan. He is for himself. Oh, I want to see this match. I like when a giant faces a giant. Okay, cool. Big E, Roman Reigns, phenomenal match. Good matchup, good opponents. But then you're like, oh, we're going to have Finn Balor literally get killed by Seth Rollins, who, if you remember, every time Seth Rollins and Finn Balor have wrestled each other up until this past Monday, Finn Balor has won.
Yep.
So now all of a sudden it's like, Seth Rollins can just demolish this guy and, you know, like, why? Why are you doing that? Get rid of Vince McMahon. Get him out of office.
Yep.
That's the big one.
Well, oh, man. That's a hot take, but I'm finally in agreement with you that it's time for Vince McMahon to step away. You know, he's only hurting the company at this point. But as some, like, it's hard for an owner to just cut ties with something that he created. You know, I get it. It's hard. Like, sometimes owners don't realize that their time has passed, and that's the situation going on with Vince right now. Unfortunately, his time has passed, and you need to let people do, new people do the things that you can't do anymore. You know, and he's only hurting the company. So I'm all for what you just said, man. And it might have to take Vince McMahon dying for him to release this company. And I hate to say it like that, but that's how it's looking. You know? That's how it's looking.
And one more thing I think they should bring back is I'm tired of Pierce and Sonya Deville being on both Raw and SmackDown. They need to have one GM for Raw, one GM for SmackDown, and let them run the show.
Yep.
See, Vince McMahon don't have enough confidence.
Yep. And that's what made Survivor Series so flawed, because you didn't, like, I'm like, that's the first time I thought about that, too, is because one of those guys should have been Team SmackDown and one should have been Team Raw. You know, Deville could have been Raw and he could have been SmackDown. And that was the perfect time to inject that, you know, for them to go their separate ways. So I agree on that end. But I have another thing. I think WWE needs to get rid of the WWE Championship. You know, I think WWE needs to bring back that Wing Eagle Championship and place that on Raw, and then get rid of the Universal Championship and bring back the world title, which I didn't like years ago, but I like it now. So I think they need to do some changes with the titles, like the IC title. They need to go back to the white strap title. I don't know why they pulled away from that. So I think there needs to be some changes with the belts. My next thing is this, you know, it's time for them to go back to just one brand, one main champion. You know, everybody's on the same show, especially with all these cuts that you're making. It's just time, you know. This brand versus brand is just getting old. It's not doing anything for me. So I'm ready for them to go back to the one branded format. Not saying that they will, but I would love to see that.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yes, I do too. Well, two things hit me. When Don was talking and when it went back to Martez, two things hit me. Number one, stop promoting wrestlers that you know are not going to show up. Of course, we see that Survivor Series, The Rock 25th anniversary. I get it. It's The Rock 25th anniversary. Cool. But y'all is promoting this man to the extent that he will be at the show. You had Roman Reigns hit a rock bottom. You had, I hate this so much, but hey, it is what it is. You had an egg from the movie Red Notice in Vince McMahon's office, called Roman Reigns to the office and said, oh, yeah, this is the same egg that your cousin gave me. Okay, cool. Now you have enough strength. This man's about to come through and be like, hey, how y'all doing? But no, the man didn't show up not one time, so they need to stop doing that. And number two, I'm glad you said this, Martez, putting, you know, everybody on one brand. The women's division, they need to bring, they didn't put every woman on the same division because, let's be honest, the women's championship belt, you don't really have enough women. Don't get me wrong, you have plenty of women you can put against a few to get the belt, but it's like we see the same women over and over and over again. So this is just an opinion. They should put the women's division together and really start building women wrestlers, like, for real. I like how they did Evolution, you know, the first ever all-women's pay-per-view. I like that. But with the title, you bring the women together and just do something with that.
Oh, yeah. I agree with that, too.
I know we can go on and on about this, but that's all I got. I don't know if you guys have any more.
There's two more things I'd like to mention. One, the Survivor Series should go back to how it was when it first started. Literally just teams, and then at the end have all the survivors come back for one main big event like they did that one time. That is how a Survivor Series should be. Not just two matches, and then it's all about brand supremacy. That's what bragging rights was for. But yet you still had Survivor Series being one-on-one, two-on-two, and then all of a sudden you had two elimination matches. Bring Survivor Series back to being the true Survivor Series. And then two, bring the King of the Ring one-night tournament back instead of over on SmackDown and over on Raw. Just choose your top four on SmackDown and your top four on Raw. Put them in the pay-per-view one time, one night. Let them go at it. That way you don't have different days to where you can rest and relax. Because to me, I'm sorry, if I win a match and then I know I got a week off because I ain't got to wrestle until the next week, okay, yeah, I'm just going to sit back, drink some Pepsi and eat some potato chips and watch all these other people just do whatever it is they do. That's the only other two things I had.
Oh, yeah, man, that was some important things, you know, especially that King of the Ring. Like, it just don't feel like the King of the Ring when they're doing it on SmackDown and Raw. It should go back to that one day, you know, King of the Ring. So one thing about WWE, they don't really listen to us as fans. So I guess we have to pray that they listen this one time. This is Russell talking to D. We shouldn't come to him tonight. Like I said, I haven't had much time to do any prep to figure out what I wanted to talk about tonight, but we're moving right along. Do you all have anything else you all want to talk about? Because I'm not going to lie, I'm hit tonight. I am hit tonight. I have nothing right now.
Kayvon?
Well, let's see. I did say I was going to talk about this later, but I did dive into the Roman Reigns and cancer situation. And, well, I was disappointed to find out what I read about. So, yes, ladies and gentlemen, the Roman Reigns story, when he announced he had cancer and he walked, and, of course, we all know Dean Ambrose and Seth Rollins, they was crying, and it was a mess. Come to find out, yes, that was all a part of a storyline. Dean Ambrose was sick to his stomach when he had to mention Roman Reigns' cancer in one of his promos. And, well, that was something else. And, of course, Seth Rollins felt some type of way as well because of the fact not only is it true, you know, Roman Reigns do have cancer, I don't care what nobody say, he does, but it gets to be a little bit disrespectful once you announce or use somebody's illness in one of your promos. I'm going to hand it over to you guys, and, you know, how do y'all feel about that inside take?
I thought it was all a ploy from the get-go. Because, I mean, yeah, okay, you're hearing it, and it's like, you know, okay, is he telling the truth? And then he's out 2 months, and he comes back. Yeah, I got something to tell y'all. I'm in remission. I'm like, really? Come on, bro, 2 months? I mean, it's not like God reached his hand down and touched your heart and said, hey, we're going to heal you right now, brother. Go be the head of the table. No, 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 no. Yeah. And my thing is at the end of the day, now I have a sarcoma tumor on my lumbar. That is a rare blood disease cancer. Now here's the thing. I had to go through radiation and chemo for months.
Yeah.
And I still was feeling it almost a year later. And I'm sitting there thinking, like, leukemia is more of a deadlier one than what I have or had, because I am in remission, been in remission for a while. But the thing is at the end of the day, I felt personally attacked when they did that, because at the end of the day, it's like you're taking real life events that other people are going through and you're pretty much making light of it just so you can further your product. Now, call me crazy, but if I drink Pepsi and I decide one day I'm going to go drink a Coke, no, that just don't work for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I know I've said this ad nauseum. Like, when it happened, like, I was crying. I'm not crying, but I was sad for Roman. But a couple days later, I said this wasn't work, you know, because he wasn't getting the support of the fans. You know, they tried everything they could and him to get the support from the fans. And you know how Vince McMahon minds work. You know, I think somebody mentioned this a few weeks ago. He was going to have a storyline with his daughter, like having relations with his daughter. So, yeah, I wouldn't put it past him to create this story out of nowhere. Look, even when Natalya's dad died, Jimmy Avenue Neidhart, when he died, like it wasn't, but a month later, and she was involved in the storyline with the Riot Squad, and the Riot Squad made fun of Natalya losing her dad. You know, so WWE, they will go there, you know, just to pull out some ratings or get some attention. They will do some of the most despicable things. You know, even when Natalya was out, she was talking about her father. And when Sasha Banks came, gave her a hug, and then she turned on her. You know, so
yeah.
WWE, what I learned about Vince, he don't care about nobody's feelings. You know, he don't, not the fans, not the workers, you know. Heck, like I said a few weeks ago, Owen Hart died at the pay-per-view in the middle of the ring, and the show still went on. You know, so those are the kind of things I don't want to think about when it comes to Vince McMahon, because I love that company. But it's low key some dark things that they get involved with in that company. That company is low key kind of dark and kind of wicked, if we could just keep it real, because they be doing some things that you want to question them sometimes.
Like have Triple H and Kane in a feud and have a dummy in a casket and then Triple H dressed up as Kane and go have sexual relations. Yeah, that's pretty downright just nasty.
Absolutely. Yeah. I completely. Even my man, what's my man? He had one leg. He was going up against, I think.
Oh,
They made fun of him.
Zach Gowen. You know?
Zach Gowen. Like,
yep.
I thought that was wrong.
All right. Let's talk about the elephant in the room with the whole storyline with Zach Gowen. You got a one-legged 19-year-old kid going against the Big Show.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, the only way you knew this guy was going to win was if someone came in and helped him. And then all of a sudden, and I was saying it, when they said, okay, next week you will face the Big Show. If you win, you get your contract. And then all of a sudden, oh, and this match is no disqualification. I was like, watch, Brock Lesnar's going to come in and help him. And that's exactly what happened.
Yeah.
And that's when they became predictable.
Pretty much. Yeah. I mean, I miss the days. My very first wrestling match, I saw Hulk Hogan wrestle the Missing Link at the State Fair here in Michigan. That was my very first wrestling match. And I've been hooked since. But back then it was like they made it seem, okay, yeah, you see people putting their hands on the people's heads and then punching their own hands. I mean, we all saw that. But it was like as a kid you're watching this and you're like, wow, you don't know no better. But as you get older, you start to see. And then all of a sudden it's like now you're starting to see how they're cutting corners and how they're being disrespectful. And to me it's like, that's what WWE does best, is they will take whatever you care about and flip it on you and make you feel like, well, damn, why am I watching this?
Yep, that's true. That's true.
Mm-hmm.
I want to go, and you know, and I said this a couple years ago, and I'm not a component of this, but Bobby Lashley and Lana, that was so uncomfortable for me. Part of me, I was hating on Bobby.
Oh.
A little part of me, but at the same time, though, I think that's wrong. And I'm more pissed off with Rusev for allowing that to go down. Like, a company can't have that much power over me for them to tell you that we're going to use your wife in a storyline with another man. Anything can happen. You know, look what happened with Lita and Edge and Matt Hardy. You know, that should have never went down. You know, you should have walked out of the company that day. And that's my opinion. I'm getting real passionate because I did not like that. That was uncomfortable. And I'm more mad at Rusev or Miro, whatever you want to call him right now, for being okay with that. You know? So.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying you guys have to agree with me. I'm not saying that, but. Because maybe I am overthinking it. Maybe because somebody can say, hey, it's just acting. Nah.
It's not just acting, though. Because if you look at it, Stephanie McMahon and Triple H weren't even together. Triple H and China were together when they first came to WWE. And then all of a sudden, Triple H cheated on China with Stephanie. And, you know, talk about sweeping your way to the top. I mean, come on. How much more of a douchebag can you be? You cheat on a girl you're with, who you broke into the business with, who helped you mold who you are as a character and as a performer. You cheat on this woman just so you can get ahead in a company. That, to me, downright disrespectful.
It is. And Triple H, he's suspect. He's done a lot of things that you can question. You know, is this the reason he got to the top? You know, because before China came on the scene, he was just another wrestler, Hunter Hearst Helmsley. You know, but China did something for his career. I remember watching, it was a pay-per-view, him against Goldust, and China was by his side, and I'm like, who is this freak of nature? You know, I've never seen a woman look like that. You know, I've never seen it, and I still haven't seen it to this day, a woman that was intimidating, you know, a woman that I felt like can go up against the guys and actually beat the guys. You know, China really kind of catapulted Triple H's career, you know, and then linking up with Shawn Michaels, that helped Triple H, you know. And then after Shawn Michaels left, becoming the leader of DX, and then so forth, hooking up with Stephanie. Now he's COO and whatever, you know. So yeah, Triple H definitely took things, used his advantages to get to the top, you know.
Oh, yeah. Because let me tell you, if I was a professional wrestler, and the owner told me, oh, we're going to use your real-life wife in a storyline where she's cheating on you. Oh, yeah, no, give me my walking papers right now because I'm about to knock your punk butt out.
Simple as
that. It ain't
going to
happen.
And to put the finger at Bobby Lashley now, you should have said no, too.
Exactly.
Like, no, it's not. You got to have respect for another man as well. Like, no, I can't do this, you know. So I think all three of
exactly.
them are at fault. Well, all four, the company, Lana, Miro, and Bobby Lashley, they all were at fault. And where did the storyline go? It went nowhere.
Nowhere, yeah.
No. That's not true. It went somewhere.
All right.
It went somewhere.
Where did it go? I would love to.
It went straight to Rusev being left out of the company.
Oh, gotcha. Okay. I thought you was about to say something else. Like, what?
Oh, no. That's all I got about that one.
That's in fact true. It's like, gosh, you know, he went packing fast right after that. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You
know,
well,
yeah, know
well, let's
you
look quiet, at.
Oh, go ahead,
John. Yeah, Kayvon. Yeah. Oh, no. Kayvon is quiet. Oh. Go ahead, Kayvon.
Okay. Well, I was just enjoying y'all, but I have to agree with y'all. It's something else to bring in somebody else's wife. And, of course, you know, thank the Lord I'm single right now. But if I was not, I'm like, yeah, I would take my walking papers. Then I would actually make this known. I did what Batista did. I would went out there to the ring and announce to everybody, I quit. I don't care whether the fans will hate me or whatnot. I would quit right there. Then with Lana, if y'all did not know, Lana was actually involved in two storylines. Number one, of course, going with Bobby Lashley. And two, when they had that wedding altercation and, you know, a whole lot of girls was coming out saying, you know, yeah, I'm with Bobby and all that good stuff. And Liv Morgan came out and said, I'm with Lana. Number one, now you're telling me not only is Lana cheating with her real husband, with Bobby Lashley. Now you're saying that she's cheating on Bobby with Liv? My mind took a whole turn. I'm a Christian man, and I hope y'all are too. But it's like, I don't believe in the same sex relationship. So to have somebody else come on and be like, oh, yeah, I was... Lana's ex and all that. I don't know if that's true. I hope it's not. If it is, that's nasty. But I'm with y'all. I would take my papers, leave, and announce to the WWE Universe, I quit. I'm done.
Well, you guys also got to look at it like this. This wasn't the first time this storyline has involved Lana. Because remember, just 2 years prior to that, she was in a relationship with Dolph Ziggler on TV until all of a sudden, she posted this Instagram picture of an engagement ring that Rusev gave her, and they had to scrap that whole storyline. So, see, that right there goes to show they have no agenda when it comes to certain people. I mean, yeah, Lana was in two different, misleading relationships on TV. I'm like, no wonder you can't build this lady up to be a professional wrestler, because you want to parade her around like she's just some trash bag hoe. Just saying.
It's the truth, and let's not forget her little quick fling with Enzo Amore. I don't know if you remember that. You guys remember what she had with Enzo.
Bada-bing.
Yep. Realest guys in the room.
And you can't teach that.
You see, now Josh and Kayvon, now every time you all say something, it brings up a whole nother topic. And all of I was a big fan of these guys. And it's people like CM Punk leaving. It's people like Enzo Amore and them leaving. I mean, Enzo and Cass being broken up and not and departed from the company. That still bothers me to this day. You know, I thought that Enzo and Cass had the potential to be a phenomenal tag team, a historic tag team, people tag team that we talk about still today. Like, they exuberated charisma that I didn't see since the early 2000s. And I'm being honest with you, because they, it was something about them that was different than most of the guys that they had on the roster. Like, Enzo was phenomenal on that mic, man. The whole gimmick of the tag team was great. So, Josh, you just opened another door, man.
Well, here's my take on Enzo and Cass. When they debuted on the main roster, now I watched them in NXT. They were good in NXT. But yeah, they brought it up five levels when they came to Raw. Their first time on Raw, they interrupt probably one of the best tag teams, if not the best tag team ever, in the Dudley Boys. And they got roasted by Enzo. I mean, he sat there and told Devon, "I'll make you lazy, I go to work." I'm sitting there thinking, like, this dude is straight up stupid.
Bro.
Enzo and Cass, I'm not even going to lie, I'm 42 years old, and yes, I'm a collector. I have hundreds, if not thousands, of wrestling action figures from way back when all the way to now. I have every Enzo and Cass action figure. That's how much I believed in these guys. And then WWE just plucked them out of obscurity, put them on our TVs, and then all of a sudden broke them up and said, "You know what? We don't like you guys no more."
Which was stupid. See, I want to go back to that time when they broke them up. Like, I don't even understand why they thought that was a good idea, because it's not like they had even won championship gold yet. They didn't even win championship yet. And when I think about it, I always felt like that was too soon to break them up. Like, I don't recall what was going on during that time, though, that would be smart to break them up. I don't know if you remember that, Josh, or Kayvon. I just don't, because that still burns me to this day, that they didn't even win championship gold.
I remember what was going on, but I'll let Kayvon take a stab at it.
I wish I knew what was going on. I don't know what was going on. WWE I'm gonna close my mouth after I say this. Well, actually, no, I'm gonna close my mouth right now, because I don't know what was going through the heads of WWE.
So this is what happened. It was right after the whole Lana Rusev Enzo feud, and then all of a sudden it was like, well, we ain't got nothing for these guys anymore, so we plan on turning Big Cass heel, so let's just start planting the seeds now. And if you remember, they planted the same seeds that they planted for Triple H and Shawn Michaels when Shawn Michaels came back out of retirement and Triple H put his head through a window in a car. I'm like, all right, so you're going to pretend that you're hurt and that you got knocked out, Big Cass, and then you're going to worry about Enzo, and then all of a sudden, it was me. I was telling the truth. And then the person who literally called him out on a lie was Corey Graves. I'm sitting there thinking, like, why are you having Corey Graves do it? You should have had somebody who actually works in the back do it. But, no. Corey Graves was like, "I got the video footage of showing you doing it." I'm like, really? Come on. So WWE just lost faith in them and was like, let's get rid of them. But here's the killer. Enzo and Cass were the third highest selling merchandise in the whole company when they broke them up.
Oh, man. Wow. That makes it even worse. I don't know. They were so over with the crowd, you know. Check this out, guys.
And you can't teach that. Really, guys in the room, how you doing?
Man, Enzo had the crowd hype, man. Like,
oh yeah,
hype. I'm getting chills talking about it. I'm getting chills talking about it.
I mean, He told Bubba Ray, "Hey, your face is so ugly when you cry, the tears run down the back of your head." I was rolling, bro.
We gotta just find a whole bunch of drops, a whole bunch of Enzo style clippings, and just like do one show dedicated to Enzo. Seriously, because he was dropping bars, man, dropping bars, man.
Especially when he was in when he was 205 champion, and he had all the cruiserweights around the ring, and he was just dogging them all. I'm saying everything like he's like you, your breath stinks. You look like your mama dresses you, and then he tells, "Oh, I like you, so I ain't gonna say nothing bad about you." I'm like, this dude was killing everybody.
Everybody, and I know he's over there in MLW, which I haven't watched that in such a long time, in some years. So I don't know if he's still doing that same kind of gimmick over there, but I gotta see what he's doing as far as on the mic over there, but. Definitely, we can watch him on MLW. It'd be nice to start doing some MLW conversations too on Wrestle Talking to Diva.
Oh yeah,
I gotta do my homework
you
on him.
MLW.
Yep, MLW.
Jeez. I hope it ain't like another AEW.
No,
I'm not going there.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Well, Kayvon, you got some homework to do. You tell us next week if it's like AEW. Man, oh, man, oh, man. All right.
I say we let Kayvon watch MLW for the whole week, and the next week we dedicate like 10 minutes to just MLW.
And how about this, Josh? Kayvon, next week, hold on. You can't do the Big Four about anything WWE related. You got to do it on MLW.
Actually, no. Right, you got to do it on AEW and MLW.
Right.
Lord Jesus. Well, in that case, I'm make sure I'm gonna have my coffee ready, my 5 hour energy.
Oh my God!
Hey, I'm up for the challenge. I will do that. I got you.
Oh, all right. Oh man, we got a few minutes to go. Like I feel like I got my second win. I know I was saying only 60 to 90 minutes in the group chat, but. I got my second win now, but we still gonna wrap up early tonight. But I feel like I got some energy now.
That's what Enzo does to you.
Is it right? Is that?
Yes.
Hey, give a 5 hour energy. Get an Enzo energy.
There you go.
Hey, what?
Y'all got me in tears over here, man.
Right. What do y'all think about my man Matt Riddle? Is he like, are y'all high on him or not? Because dude is just absolutely funny, man. And what he did on Monday Night Raw, you know, was hilarious. And Randy Orton is just going right along with it, making it like selling that. Randy Orton has helped doing a good job of selling him and Matt Riddle, because Matt Riddle continues to do stupid stuff. And Randy Orton has to always correct him, but he's doing a good job of selling that. So are you guys high on Matt Riddle, RK-Bro, Randy Orton? Like, what are y'all thoughts on that group?
Kayvon, you go first.
Okay. Well, start off, if my brother was here right now, he would hate me for what I'm going to say. For a minute, I did not like Randy Orton. He didn't come over me like that. I'm sorry. He came off like a bad guy. Don't get me wrong. I like bad guys. Randy Orton, it wasn't really connecting. But now that he's up with Matt Riddle and RK-Bro, I saw a different side of Randy that I did not see. Now I'm on the same side as my brother. I like Randy Orton. I mean, he's not up there with Roman Reigns, but I like Randy Orton. He became one of my favorites. And with Matt Riddle, hey, he reminds me of Enzo Amore just a little bit. With his goofiness, you know, trying to blend in with the crowd. But of course, standing out at the same time. So I'm high when it comes to Matt Riddle, and I am just excited for RK-Bro. I actually think that's one thing that's actually saving Raw is RK-Bro. I'm sorry, that's fact in my eyes. But RK-Bro, to me, they should stick together.
Oh, yeah.
I agree. When Riddle was in NXT, I was like, you know, if he's going to get called up to the main roster, what are they going to do with him, blah, blah, blah. It wasn't until he got hooked up with Randy Orton to where I really got behind his character, because I was like, you know, I see this dude coming out, he's so cool, you know, bro, and all this other stuff, and I'm sitting there thinking like, you know, if I want to see a surfer dude, I'll just start watching surf movies, and those aren't my favorite kind of movies. You know, so, but when he got with Randy Orton and he's been doing this comedy stuff, I can compare him to an Enzo or to, and this is a stretch, a Matt Cardona, a.k.a. Zack Ryder, which in my opinion, Riddle and Ryder would be a perfect tag team, because they both had that bro attitude.
Yep.
Yeah. But I do like Riddle now. I mean, I was kind of edgy at first, like, I don't know. I mean, he's got talent, he's got potential. But then once Randy Orton and him hooked up, I was like, oh, yeah, definitely. And he can no longer be called Riddle. Now he's called Broton.
Oh, I'm with you on that one, Josh. We literally got a few minutes to go within the show, and it's been another fun show. Dominic, he's out on assignment, so shout out to Dominic. But we are here, the three of us. We did a good job, I think. You know, triple threat.
Oh yeah.
Triple threat edition.
Mm-hmm.
We still got to get to that tournament, so whenever Dominic come back, let's talk
about some of the rules real quick for the tournament.
All right, let's do it. Okay.
All right. And tell me if you guys agree. If not, this is cool. But so for the ones that we have, like, selected to be ours exclusively, we cannot put those against each other. I think that should be a rule. So, like, our four exclusives should be put against other theme songs from other people.
Like, what do you mean? Like, what do you mean? Like
My ours? Stone Cold. And... Go ahead.
No, you go.
Yeah, like Stone Cold. Since I chose him as my exclusive, I can't put him against any of your exclusives. So, like, the exclusives are literally, like, in another group. So then it's, like, one exclusive gets used at a time and not two or three or all of them at one time.
Okay, I get it. That'll work. I'm down with that.
Yeah. I mean, any other rules you guys got? Because... I got a couple other ones, but I'm going to let you guys go.
I was initially thinking, like, either, like, for our particular bracket that we, like, my NWO, the number one seed, NWO versus the number 16, I think I don't have my paper with me, but Enzo and Cass, you know, that's how I was looking at it, and I will pick the winner. It wasn't up until we got to the Final Four where – Wait, what am I talking about? Never mind. Forget everything I just said. Yeah,
it's that turkey, man. It's that turkey.
I'm done. Y'all make the rules. I'm just going to abide by them. I'm done.
Okay.
Hey, you know what? You can be as clear-minded as we all are, because we're all in this together.
Yeah.
Thank God, man.
Yeah. So I just have a question for you, Josh. With the exclusives, would the exclusives be like the songs that we picked that nobody else could pick?
Yes. Okay, so, like, I got the Stone Cold, Yeah. Because, see, the way I was looking at it is, do we want to, like, put our brackets against each other and then the last four songs? Because, see, here's the thing. If I use my entire bracket as just myself, I already know who's going to be the winner. So I say each week we choose one song from each group. Like Martez, Dom, Kayvon, and myself, we all choose our one song, and then we all agree on, like, whose song is the best one out of that group, and that song goes on to the next round.
Oh.
That's what I was thinking.
I think that's
so
a
like
good
if
idea.
I put my oh yeah, so like if I put my self high five for DDP against your NWO and then Dom's NWO Wolfpack and then Kayvon's Head of the Table, and we all agree that Head of the Table is the winner, then Head of the Table goes on.
Perfect. I think that's perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ooh, that's all good. Okay.
Hey, let's make it a real true tournament, because at the end of the day, the four of us going against each other is cool. And if we can set up, like, at the very end, the last four songs that are there, like you said, the public should be able to choose it. Let's set up some kind of incentive for the public too. Like if they whoever chooses the winner, like whatever number caller they come in or whatever, they get to be a special guest on a show for part of the show for a future episode.
Yep. Oh, I like that idea. That's great. That's great. Man.
I do too. That sounds good. That sounds real good.
Hey, I think we own to something, man. Josh got it figured out, Kayvon.
Oh, yeah.
Now, here's the thing. I say after this tournament, we wait a month, and then we come up with a good way and do another tournament. And, like, every other tournament, wait a month, and we keep coming up with other tournaments, because at the end of the day, it's like, we are wrestling fans. We love wrestling. So this is what we know. So let's do what we know.
I'm with it. I'm with it.
Oh, yeah.
Bye.
I'm with it. I'm with it 100%. I can't wait. Hopefully we can get Brother Dom back next week and we can actually kick it off.
Yeah.
I'm ready, because this is a juicy tournament, because there's so many great theme songs, you know. Whoever actually wins this tournament, you know, somebody can come along and say, well, this one is better than that one. So we all gonna have differences of opinion when it comes to these theme songs. So that's what I'm more intrigued about, you know, what we all gonna agree with, because we all got different tastes, you know. So
mm-hmm. All right. Now, here's one more rule that I think we should implement, because there could always be a draw to where two like one song and then two like another song.
So
if we ever come to a draw, all four of those songs in that group are all eliminated.
Oh, wow.
Okay. So that means someone's song in the next round is going to get a bye and not have to go into the – you know, go into battle. So they're literally going to get a bye. So that's going to help them out.
Oh, I can dig that, man. I can dig that. That's the perfect idea. Perfect idea.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
What?
Like I said, I'm a fan.
Wait. True enough, you are a fan. Hey, this is what's the name of the show again? Russell Talking to Me. Yeah, this is. Man, I'm going to sleep after this. I don't even know if I'm gonna say nothing in that group chat. I'm going to sleep. for real.
Shoot, I gotta get up at 5:30 in the morning again. So
hey.
I'm cool. I mean,
wow.
I'm like you guys. Since I don't have to work tomorrow, I will be relaxing, probably getting ready for Friday Night SmackDown.
Don't forget, you got to watch some MLW and some AEW to get your 4+1.
That's right. That is right. I'm gonna have to do that too.
Avon, don't come here next week with no bullcrap. You got to have some facts. You got to have some good stuff about MLW.
Kayvon, you got to understand something, Kayvon. I watch it all, so I can tell you if you're right or wrong.
Okay, well, in that case, I'm going to try my best not to let you guys down. I will come back with facts, and who knows? Maybe if I actually stay up for AEW, maybe that might be another show that I'm going to add on the schedule. I don't know. I'm going to have to find out.
Yep. Josh, is Jacob Fatu related to Roman and them, or no?
No.
I was gonna tell Kayvon that could be an added reason to watch MLW, but I guess not.
Well, my wife did want me to tell you guys one thing though. She says I have different personalities, so she said I should introduce you guys to two of them. One being Gangsta Prankster, because I'm a prankster.
Uh-oh.
And then the other one you will meet next week. And that's Crazy Jay.
Oh.
Well, that is very interesting. You said Crazy Jay, huh?
Oh yeah.
Oh man. Crazy K gonna have him some fun next week.
Yeah.
Uh-oh. Now, Crazy Jay, I can tell you, Crazy Jay talks about everything and anything, doesn't matter what it is.
Now, I feel like that's gonna be the show where I won't say anything because you all will be just off the hook, you know? Because I don't know what to expect, but we will find out.
Well, the only thing you can expect is the unexpected.
Oh,
that's right.
What
that is right. And who knows? Actually, I can't really say nothing because somebody already told me that he will be here on WrestleMania week. So I can give y'all his name. I know Martez has met him a couple of times face-to-face. He goes by Savage Warrior, and let's just say he don't play no games.
Ay-yay-yay. Oh, man.
Hey, you never know. You never know who you're gonna meet. You heard of the three Foleys, or the three faces of Foley? Now you got the three faces of Josh.
Oh my God!
Yeah,
the ratings are gonna go up. ladies and gentlemen, boys, people that think they boys, people that think they women, but they really men.
We all going to hell.
Well, Roman's going first for faking leukemia. So we also.
No, Vince McMahon is going first.
Now we're doing the show. Who's going to hell first in WWE? We got to get out of here. We want to thank Josh. We want to thank Kayvon for always doing their thing on this show. We want to thank Martez for adding nothing to this show. We want to thank Dominic in his absence. Next week is going to be a nutty one. We don't know what day, what time, but we'll be here. This is Russell talking to D, and we are out.
Bro.
Thank you.